For the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And it is time once again for the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, now with five locations around the valley to serve you better. All sorts of great stuff over there. All your nutrition and supplement needs to make sure that your 2017 gets off on the right track. Make sure that you follow those New Year's resolutions this year. If you're already off track, get back on it. Vegas Discount Nutrition is your one-stop place for everything you need to get in the shape that you want to be. Ballpark Frank Harness, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Terrence, he's way too busy for the show. He's out wheeling and dealing and doing all sorts of stuff, opening new stores, having flash sales, doing all sorts of things there. And we appreciate everything that Big T does for the show. And how you guys doing?
Wait. He might surprise us today.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
I think we're past the surprise factor.
You think so?
Here. After 7
o'clock. I think he knows when we're doing NFL, so, but.
He's so excited. Packers, Cowboys, tomorrow. He's loving life right now. He was so excited. I'm coming. But, you know, he's been doing so much traveling and so much wheeling and dealing, like you say, that I don't know what time zone his body is technically in. It's technically in the Pacific time right now, but I don't know what his biological clock is on right now, because he's been all over the place, and we definitely appreciate everything he does for us here at the show. And
I mean, all right, Big T, get your ass down here, Dan.
Well, you know, speaking of all over the place, the sporting world is all over the place right now. We have MMA news everywhere. Of course, we've got the NFL. We've got hockey. We've got basketball. We've got boxing news. A big fight, or maybe not a big fight, that Armando is or isn't looking forward to over Cinco de Mayo weekend.
They call me Ken Yellow.
And we've survived Friday the 13th with a full moon. I saw somebody posted it on social media last night. Apparently, Friday the 13th won't coincide with a full moon again until 2049. So that's the last one I'll see in my lifetime.
Actually, and here's some very good news. You know how everyone gets all superstitious on Friday the 13th. Yesterday,
or get tattoos.
Flight 666 to hell landed safely. Well, actually, it was a flight from the Netherlands to Helsinki, and it was flight 666, and everyone was a little freaked out. What's going to happen? But they landed safely, and we're okay. So
that's good. That's good.
The superstition only really counts in sports, let's be honest, because we are all freaking crazy superstitious when it does come to sports. I know you're going to be wearing your special jerseys for tomorrow's game. In fact, actually, lots of coaching news, too, in the NFL we got going on. You're team, well, I don't know if it's his team now, because now they're going to have more competition in the city.
Well, yeah, because now there's going to be a new team in L.A. And since he likes teams in L.A., then maybe he's a Charger fan now?
I don't know. Is that going to happen?
I haven't given it much thought.
So that's a yes. So, no. Armando's
sticking with the Rams.
Next
you.
Season will be
I'm
torn.
Like, I'm more trying to figure out their way of thinking with their new coach hire.
Yeah, youngest coach in history. I'm like, it's interesting, but
I was a little surprised, and then they go and, they do that, then they go in and bring Wade Phillips, excuse me.
Which I think is a better hire than McVay.
As an OC, yes. But as a coach, not so much.
Well, I mean, this guy expects Jared Goff to be like, the next coming, and from everything I saw this year, that's the exact opposite. So I don't know what he's thinking and why, what the Rams are thinking. Hell, I don't know what the Chargers are thinking. Moving to L.A., we're going to see him probably playing in a soccer stadium.
Well, yeah, basically it's a 30,000-seat stadium. And now there's some talk, and I know we're going to get into NFL talk a little later on in the show, but now there's talk about, with the Chargers playing in that stadium, does that mean that the likelihood that the Raiders could possibly move to Vegas earlier and they would let them play in Sam Boyd Stadium, which is actually a little bit bigger than the place where the Chargers are going to play.
That would be insane if it happens. And now also with all of the talk about possibly Adelson being out of the talk,
which is, according to a lot of sources, the one sticking point with the NFL, because Adelson has a lot of lawsuits all the time. They don't want something that could be potentially embarrassing to the league.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
Plus the casino aspect, of course.
Exactly. Which, and then I heard yesterday, I was listening to Cofield and Company, and they were talking about, you know, maybe another casino magnate coming in and taking over. Obviously, talking about the Fateeters and, you know, their possibility and what they could do and what stake they'd have in that. A lot going on. A lot could happen. A lot could not happen. I mean, I was. Yeah. I got to say, I was a little surprised. I thought that we'd have more new, we'd have more definitive news on the the Raiders before the Chargers move.
Well, and the thing about the Chargers was, well, they had a deadline, so they had to put something out there.
Yeah, I was just, I was a little surprised by it. And then, yeah, and but the way there they
rumors
did it,
going around saying that, oh, they're gonna ask for an extension, and it was going to be granted, supposedly.
Well, no, they had an extension, but the extension only went till Tuesday, and the only reason they had granted the extension till Tuesday was because Sunday is the 15th. That's when the original date was, so they couldn't do it then, and then Monday is MLK Day, so they couldn't do it then. That's the only reason they gave them the two-day extension, but they made the announcement before they even needed extension, because obviously Spanos wanted out of there. He said that he wanted out of there, and now he's out of. When he's moving into just a 30,000-seat stadium until they have the other place, but and then they're going to share a stadium. They're going to be the second fiddle. They're going to be the other team in the Rams stadium.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then Armando, I don't know what you're going to do.
Rams, baby Rams.
I don't know what you're going to do, but we got a lot to talk about. We'll get to a little bit more of that later. Last week, before we were going off the air, we were talking about Mark Hunt, and Mark Hunt...
The cojones on this guy.
Yeah,
I like
Mark Hunt was scheduled last week in a fight, and he still is scheduled for a fight, UFC 209 here at the T-Mobile against Alistair Overeem, and that's March 4th. Hunt had said when the contract was signed, listen, if Alistair tests positive, I want his entire paycheck. I want his total fight purse. I don't want this 20%. I don't want half. I don't want him to get fined. I want his money. Didn't happen, but... We clearly knew he was frustrated. In fact, we knew he was frustrated back in November or October when he threatened, said he was going to go ahead and sue the UFC because they weren't taking any or pushing any repercussions on Brock Lesnar for failing his test back at UFC 200.
And remember, before that fight, we had talked about it. They kicked John Jones off the card for PEDs. They put this guy on, who obviously knew he was dirty, said he didn't want to test. They said, okay, fine, you don't have to test. And then he goes out and he kind of beats the hell out of Mark Hunt, but he was obviously using.
Yeah, obviously, well, obviously using. And I wanted to talk about how last week I was saying that we should have more penalties against the fighters for things like this. Not making weight, failing a drug test. You don't get a suspension. You shouldn't get a slap on the wrist. You should lose your job. All right. Well, Mark Hunt has taken things one step further this week. Mark Hunt on Tuesday filed a civil suit against the UFC, Dana White, and Brock Lesnar, suing on 8 different causes of action. It's a 27-page filing, and in that filing, Hunt alleges a conspiracy between the UFC, White, and Lesnar to allow Brock to compete at UFC 200 while being on PEDs without facing any repercussions. Now, there are 8 counts brought up. Unlawful racketeering in violation of federal law, unlawful racketeering in violation of Nevada state law, fraud, obtaining Hunt services under false pretenses, breach of contract, breach of covenant of good faith and fair dealing, negligence, and then over, last but not least, unjust enrichment.
And the unjust enrichment, when you think about it, Lesnar got $2.5 million plus a big percentage of the pay-per-views. Mark Hunt, who was the established legitimate MMA fighter, not that Lesnar wasn't in the game before, because he was a heavyweight champ for a while, so he did show that he had, you know, he did earn what he had when he was here originally. But Hunt got $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
and then got nothing out of Lesnar's stuff. All Lesnar did was took his money, smiled, and went over, and 3 weeks later was on a pay-per-view for WWE.
Right, like he never left, you know? And Hunt's going back and some of the things that he's talking about. We're talking about, like, the breach of covenant of good faith, saying that the UFC knew that Brock was going to fail this test, that he did fail, and they held it under the rug until after the fact.
I said it the whole time leading up to that fight. Everybody else said, no, you don't know that. I'm like, yes, I am positive that he is. Why would he not want to be tested or absolutely flat out refuse to be tested if he didn't know he was dirty? He knew he was dirty. They knew he was dirty. You kicked a guy off your heavyweight champ from the card for PEDs to put on a guy that you knew was dirty for PEDs.
But yeah. He had an exemption, remember?
The exemption because it had, what was it, 4 months?
Yeah.
Nonsense. Exactly. It's all nonsense. And, I mean, I don't know what this lawsuit will produce in the end, and I don't even know if this will technically go all the way to court. And may. If it does, there's a lot going against Hunt, but there's also a lot going against the UFC. I did see some people talking about the fact that Mark Hunt was on another radio show. He did MMA Junkie, and I guess they had brought up the fact that, hey, what if he's on steroids or test positive? What is wrong with you this morning? My goodness, you're coughing like crazy, man. You okay?
No.
What's the matter?
I finished my my tea with honey.
Well, it obviously hasn't helped. So you need to get down to Vegas Discount Nutrition and buy some vitamin C or something.
There you go.
Because you sound like a mess. But anyway, Mark Hunt was on MMA Junkie Radio when he went ahead and he told them that, or they asked, hey, if Brock's on steroids, he goes, I don't care if Brock's on steroids. Because I'm just going to knock him out anyway.
Damn.
So that may, in the long run, go against him. Don't know. But this also can open up a major can of worms for the UFC and cause major headaches for new ownership.
And let me throw this in. I don't know exactly what all the law is, but I would think that if Mark Hunt has a good lawyer, if this did end up going to court, all he's got to do is say, look, he was promoting a fight. That was his role at that time to say, I don't care, I'm going to knock him out anyway. Of course, it's fight promotional type talk. That's not what he meant. Obviously, he was concerned about it. I don't think anything's going to happen for this particular lawsuit because it's all in the past and I don't know how much they can prove or whatever. What I do hope eventually happens in this, I hope it kind of turns out like the Curt Flood free agency thing years ago in baseball, when Curt Flood unfortunately got his career ruined by it, but he opened up the door for free agency and made it better for every other player. I'm not hoping that Mark Hunt loses his career over this, but I don't think he's going to get anything out of this, but I hope at least it does start the conversations like you've said, like we've talked about here. You know, because there does have to be something with guys not making weight constantly, with the guys getting popped for PEDs all the time. Obviously, the slap on the wrist is not the deterrent that it needs to be. They need to have harsher penalties.
Absolutely. And it does have to happen. We've talked about it, especially with guys trying to, like, make weight. And you saw Pettis before his fight with Holloway just stopped with 4 pounds to go. Why drain yourself? All I'm going to get is a minus 20% of my purse. No big deal. I'm still going to clear a couple thousand and be all right. I don't think that needs to. That can't go on anymore. I think there needs to be stricter penalties. And I am interested to see where this goes. I don't know if we will see anything, but I am interested. I'm interested to see if Mark Hunt's still going to fight Alistair Overeem at UFC 209. Is he going to get paid? We'll see what happens. But actually, speaking of UFC 209, after two canceled bouts, finally, Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson will square off.
Get his money?
For the UFC lightweight, sorry, let's scratch that. For the interim lightweight title, Khabib obviously undefeated at 24-0.
Really?
We're going to be talking about interim titles a lot, I think, in the future.
Why? I mean, what is the point of just Connor's taking a well-deserved... was that positive?
Whoa, did you just say that?
Oh, hold on, let me rephrase that. No, I did not just say
that. Connor McGregor is on a break right now.
Yes, he deserves it. I mean, that's no lie. I can't stand his antics, but there's no... I can't get around it. So, anyways, so they go ahead and say, oh, here's, why can't it be a contender, number one contender fight?
I mean, well, I think that's what it is.
Well, of course it is. But I mean, why that's put what the term that, interim that's, on it? I mean, that to me is ridiculous.
Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to see in every division there'll be an interim champion as
everybody
well?
Everybody wants a belt, I guess.
It's like, yeah, Dana White and the UFC have become Oprah Winfrey. You get a belt. You get a belt.
And plus now it's going to be confusing. Every time you look at a weight class, you can say, here's the champ, here's the interim champ, then here's the number one contender. Then
yeah.
Here's...
It's kind of crazy.
Did we not have this at 145, you know, just, you know, yeah,
no,
3 months ago?
No, that's the thing. And Conor is the champion. His significant other is pregnant. He had quite a year last year. He's taken some time off. Let's be honest. The guy, what he has accomplished is amazing. And, you know, Armando, you're right. Yeah, well-deserved vacation.
He needs one.
But, yeah, I think it's enough with the interim titles. That's getting a little ridiculous. I can understand. Like,
Did you see Ben Rothwell's tweet?
No. I don't follow fighters on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
I don't follow fighters on Twitter because everybody and their mother will just repost it or retweet it. So I find it pointless. I don't need my timeline just filled with, you know, ridiculous. Right, well,
but since you did bring it up, let the listeners know, what did he tweet?
He tweeted, when he's talking about Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, it's going to be involved for an interim title.
God,
it was awesome.
This talk has got to stop.
Yes,
it's got
well,
to
that
stop.
And then,
including
I mean,
Dana White.
Yes, he needs to shut up.
Stop. Don't go ahead and make ridiculous offers that we know isn't, in the long run, it's not going to pay off. We're not getting Conor versus Floyd. And if we do, it is the stupidest thing you're going to do.
Well, and if we do, you're not going to get the fight by saying, oh, Floyd was just on ESPN and said, I'll do it for $100 million and I'll give Conor $15. And then you get up there and say, how is he the go-to guy? How is he the number one? His last fight was a complete joke. You know, well, I'm the promoter here. It's like, really? Because I believe Floyd has Mayweather Promotions.
He's a promoter, too.
So I don't think he's going to go, yeah, Dana, you just promoted, and I'll do whatever you say. There is no way in hell, there's a WWE reference for you,
nice.
No way in hell that this fight is happening for equal money.
No, not happening. Not happening. But you know what is happening again at UFC 209?
What?
Stephen Thompson
against Tyron Woodley 2.
First matchup, obviously, at MSG, UFC 205. It ended in a majority draw. Woodley kept the belt. We were leading up to this. We didn't know what we were going to get. There was all that talk about possibility of a Conor-Woodley fight after their little altercation at UFC 205 in the back. And then there was talk about maybe Damian Maia.
Michael Bisping.
Maybe Woodley fighting for 185. It was all over the place, but what we are getting is the... second matchup between Woodley and Thompson. And
I want to see it.
Also, you know, we do have some UFC tomorrow night. We got some NFL playoffs today and tomorrow. Also, you know, UFC Fight Pass free this weekend and tonight in Invicta 21, which is going to be going down in Kansas City, Missouri. The Invicta, Armando, are you ready for this?
Yes.
The Invicta interim featherweight belt will be up for grabs. Yes, and the reason being, Chris Cyborg. Chris Cyborg tested positive in her last UFC fight for a diuretic. It's well documented, that video out there of her cutting weight. Apparently she tested positive for a diuretic. We're still, Invicta has to wait now to find out what's going to happen with her
as an athletic commissioner.
So, but you got a good fight tonight. Australian Megan Anderson, she fights Muay Thai practitioner Charmaine Tweet. Both girls riding a 3-fight win streak. Both girls coming off of really impressive knockouts. Anderson, a crazy top prospect, got a lot of high hopes on her. 5 out of her 7 wins. She's finished the fight. This is going to be her second shot at Invicta Gold. She actually fought Chris Cyborg back in 2015 and lost. But should be a good matchup. And it, like what I just said, Fight Pass is free this weekend. So if you sign up, you know, from what they say, no credit card needed. But you'll get the Invicta fights tonight for free, which are always a great, great set of fights. And then tomorrow you'll get the UFC prelims before BJ Penn and Yair Rodriguez on Fox Sports 1. So not a bad little deal right there, Invicta tonight.
All right, so I know that we're up against the clock here, but Armando, since you follow everybody on Twitter, do you follow tweets?
I do not, actually. What is that?
Frank, are you on Twitter yet?
Somebody has set me up with an account. I just got to figure out how to actually get on it and start using it.
All right, I know.
So it is just around the corner.
Are we going to break?
Yes, okay. yes, we are. So it's just around the corner. I will actually be doing that soon. All right, when we come back, we still got some more MMA talk. But coming up next, we have some NFL playoffs here. Rematches. Every single one of these games is a rematch from the regular season. But we have some different teams. We'll look at the NFL next. It is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Welcome back. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition with five locations around the valley to serve you better for all your nutrition and supplement needs. Check out Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. And guys, it's time to talk a little NFL here. Are we opening up with the playoff talk, or did you want to get a little bit more into that?
Before we start, I have a question, Frank.
Yes.
You know how you mentioned that you were, you know, they made you an account on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Now, there's a whole bunch of different types of social media now, but have you ever heard of Snapchat?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You have?
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
Not exactly.
Me neither. I have no clue. I mean, we're, all of us, you know, we're
Well, I know what it adults. Is. And I think, now, that, is that do, is that what you're upset about, that I know what
how,
it is?
How, I'm sitting at work, you know. Well, we were busy yesterday, actually, so we're working really bad. All of a sudden, Phil stops, and I hear this song that I recognize. He goes, hey, I go, is that your ringtone? He goes, no. My brother just sent me a Snapchat. I went like, what?
He's upset about this, Frank. What the hell is the Snapchat? Upset about this.
I go, okay. I'm like, I have no idea what this is. And he said, oh, yeah, this is how I communicate with my niece, my aunt, you know, my sister, my brother.
See, now, you're wrong right there. You just said communicate.
Oh, okay.
I don't communicate because don't know how to use Snapchat.
They communicate to you.
They communicate to me.
Do you believe that? No.
Yeah, I do.
He's not going to download it on his and then sit there and watch his
my
brother.
My sister, see, Snapchat, since you don't know what it is, Snapchat is basically, it's set up to be conversation with pictures. They delete after 10 seconds. Hey, you know, quick picture. My brother used to do it when he'd see stupid stuff in stores. He'd send me pictures.
So I asked my daughter, sister, I go, what's Snapchat? I go, oh, and she goes nuts. I mean, she just went ballistic on how happy it is, how all these filters where you can put headdresses on his.
That's
you
it.
Can put, you know, a dog nose on it, ears. And I'm like, yo, you're on Snapchat, Phil?
He's upset I'm hip? That's it. I'm a hip dude, Armando.
Okay,
dude,
so now
dude, you're a grown adult. You're not supposed to be. Snapchat is, come on. That's for teenagers.
So I think I have seen some of it now. I think I've seen it on Jimmy Fallon's show. I think he's used it before and shown some pictures and stuff.
I don't know what this is.
You watch Jimmy Fallon?
I channel surf and watch a lot of different things. I'm kind of eclectic.
I haven't seen Jimmy Fallon since he first came on. I remember when he started, he was a nervous Nelly on air. I mean, that guy sweat and stuttered. Has he gotten any better? Because I always thought he'd be a good fit for that show.
He seems really comfortable in his position now.
Good, yeah. I'm glad. I'm not up that late.
Yeah, no.
I may be a teenager at heart, Armando, and I may have all the nicks and nacks of the youngins, but I'm still in bed by 10:30 at night.
Frequently, when I have my nights when I can't sleep, which is quite a bit, I'll watch some of that. Then I might see some Seth Meyers. I might go over to I channel surf a lot.
Did you channel surf at all on Monday night and catch any of the WWE Raw?
I channel surfed a little bit, and I caught some here and there, but I did not catch what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, well, because it was funny because the national championship was on. And what a great game.
Yes.
Amazing game. But
sorry, Alabama
WWE
fans.
And their infinite wisdom timed it perfectly where they had, and they announced it for weeks because they don't, you know, it's funny.
This is where social media comes into play.
And this is where social media does come into play because for years, the whole thing with wrestling was the surprise. You know, you don't let anyone know that the big star is coming back. It's usually like a run-in or it's something out of nowhere. And it's like, whoa, yeah. Well, they announced for weeks The Undertaker was coming back to WWE Raw. I mean, he was on SmackDown just a couple of weeks ago,
yes.
So it wasn't really that big of a deal. But then it turned out it was because he made the announcement while being on air at halftime Because like we said, WWE, ingenious timing.
Yes.
They planned it out so that as soon as they went to halftime at the national championship game, Undertaker's in the ring when everyone's flipping the channels.
So was that the East Coast feed then, halftime?
Yes, that would be East. What do you mean?
Because USA Network, like, I get it 3 hours later on Cox Cable.
That's right.
Yeah, I do not.
We have DirecTV.
But I know what you're talking about because I was actually doing a remote for the championship game at the Hustler Club.
Okay.
And I happened to see it on one of the TVs where they had the wrestling on, and I saw them come out.
They had it during that. Nice.
Oh, no. They usually put that on Monday nights at one of the TVs there. But so I kind of saw it. I didn't see the sound or anything like that. But, yeah, when I actually see it on my cable out here, it's the West Coast feed, which is 3 hours later.
Social media, that's got to be rough for you West Coast fans. Do they do that? They don't do that with fights, do they? I know Bellator sometimes does, right?
They do it sometimes for fights. And what you'll see a lot of times if you follow social media, all these people that follow all those garbage reality shows, Survivor, Big Brother, Bachelor, all this and that, you'll always see people quit posting on social. Well, you can't go on social media because East Coast people will put the results of all that kind of stuff on 3 hours before people out here know what it is.
Yeah, that's something you always. I remember having to do it years ago with the UFC. If I was at work or something when the prelims were on, you stay off of Facebook. I didn't have Twitter at the time. I'm not the biggest tweeter. I'm more of a ghost on Twitter. I like to read what people have to say. I don't really, you know, have much to say.
You're the Silver Surfer.
Yeah,
you're the observer.
I'm the observer. Yeah, I consider myself a George Carlin. Like, I just sit back and I observe. Observe the stupidity of the masses with a lot of them.
And then you shake your head, as the young kids say.
I shake my head a lot. It is a shame. Yes. Actually speaking, you know, we don't have to worry about that whole... let's go back to The Undertaker real quick. The Undertaker is going to be involved in the Royal Rumble this year, Armando. This is the first time in 10 years. The Undertaker has been doing that, I come back just for WrestleMania because I'm an old man thing, but now actually participating in one of their biggest events. Do you think we're going to see more of him?
No.
You just think this is a one-time thing?
Well, remember last year he did Survivor Series. Was it Survivor Series?
Yeah, he was at Survivor Series 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So I think this...
You're right. It was last year against Brock.
Yeah. So
I wonder if Brock was positive tested that time.
Yeah.
Think he was on the Clomed?
I don't know, but I do know that when Brock originally won his championship out here, that The Undertaker was in the crowd because I was sitting right next to him at that particular UFC event.
See, and then he was there when he lost it.
And that's what started everything.
He was there pretty much every time that Brock fought.
What do you mean that's what started everything? That's where it was all set up.
I'm sorry, my bad.
It was set up. Remember what? Ariel? No. Yes, Ariel Helwani going up to him and interviewing him in the crowd. That was not a work, sir. It was a total work.
No, it was not.
But you know it's not going to be a work. We got some football today.
Yes.
And that's something we never have to worry about when it comes to time zones because we are fortunate enough to get it here earlier and get it live. I absolutely love living out here compared to New York when you had to wait till 1 o'clock or especially days like today, you'd have to wait till 2 or 3 to get your NFL.
Well, especially Sunday with the one game being changed.
Changed now. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting.
That game's going to finish after midnight probably on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's Sunday night. Not for us though. So that's going to be cool. But, football today, a lot of good games this weekend. Today, though, I'd say Atlanta-Seattle should be a fun game. Their first matchup went down to the wire in Seattle. How it goes in Atlanta going to be interesting. Different teams now. And obviously Patriots-Texans, which no one is giving the Texans a chance. But I got to say, if Brock Osweiler is able to bring the Texans to New England and win, all of that talk we've had this year about what a waste of money, how horrible he is out the door. Because that would be the biggest shock, biggest upset ever. I mean, bigger than the Patriots beating the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Bigger than the Jets-Colts way, way back in the Super Bowl?
I think it would be astronomical if he did it.
It'd be an absolutely huge upset. But
won't happen.
But. I don't see it happening. As a matter of fact, I know some of the shows were talking about it. Surprisingly, teams that are 16-point favorites or bigger in the NFL in the playoff weekends, they cover almost every time. Yeah, I mean, you don't usually see lines this big, but they generally not only win, but they do cover. Now, the interesting aspect of that in this particular game is New England's not a team that generally does cover big spreads like that. They're not blowing teams off the field this year.
A few teams, but very rarely did they do it this year.
So, no. But Houston is so banged
up. They did it to Houston this year, earlier in the year, even with Brady.
What happens if Houston keeps it close? Can you imagine all, you know, everybody's going to be freaking out.
Of course they would. I mean, listen, Tom Brady, after the 4-game suspension, came in and played like we all said he was going to. We knew that this was Tom Brady's big F you to Roger Goodell over everything that happened.
Had the best touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the league.
Yeah, he was on fire this year, and you knew that was going to happen.
He's the old man of the league.
But if the Texans can play, now, granted, last week, you were going against a rookie third-string quarterback making his start in a playoff game.
They were the old Raiders.
They were the Raiders that Armando knew. The Raiders that Armando said stunk and that they would never win because they're the Raiders.
Yes.
Well, they didn't do so well last week. The Texans' defense looked great, but like I said, it's against a third-string rookie quarterback. Tom Brady's a totally different beast.
Well, yeah.
Totally different beast. So I have to say, I agree with every talking head out there that the Patriots will probably walk away this one unscathed and it'll be a big loss.
How many times has it happened that everybody's on a team, and the opposite happens?
Oh, it happens a lot. As a matter of fact, if you listen to most handicappers, they'll say when everybody's on it, go the other way. But that's with the points. I don't think anybody's saying go the other way, like on a money line. I mean, if you really want to show some cojones, bet Houston on a money line. Or just give me the money because you obviously don't need it.
I see a blowout in tonight's game. Everybody agrees with that, I'm pretty sure. But I think the Atlanta-Seattle game should be a blast.
I just want to – is this the game when Matty Ice finally gets the choke collar off of him? Because let's face it, if it wasn't for Matthew Stafford – Matt Ryan would probably be considered one of the most disappointing quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they've...
Oh,
they
how
have
dare
looked...
you talk about Matthew Stafford like that?
Matt Stafford can't win a road game or a playoff game if his life depends on it.
And Atlanta, we thought we saw them starting to crumble again in the middle of the year, but they finished very strong. And for a defense that was absolutely pathetic to start the year... If he comes turn out, things around.
If he comes out flat or he comes out bad, after what the refs did to him the previous game, their previous game, come on. No, I think he's going to come with, you know, a fire in his eyes, ready to go.
Well, they're also at home this game. They don't have that 12th man to have to deal with in Seattle. And that's a big difference. The Seahawks have not been a great team this year.
No.
And they're really not that good on the road. Everything is set up for the Falcons to win this game. They should win this game. They don't have a great defense, but their offense is arguably the best in the league. And although Seattle's generally got a great defense, they're pretty banged up on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. Just some guys gone, and it's going to be a fun game. But tomorrow, I think tomorrow's the main attraction. Obviously, you talked about it earlier. Steelers-Kansas City game moved to the evening because of some inclement weather. And the Cowboys and Packers have been are a little earlier. That's the game I think everyone's looking forward to. I mean, when you talk about playoffs and writing the drama writes itself. I mean, the Ice Bowl years ago, and then what happened 2 years ago with Dez? Was it a catch? I mean, all the it's all air. It's all there. Jordy out. I don't know what we're gonna see, but. I think the Packers, if they can play like they played in the second half last week, they cannot start like they did last week against the Giants. They can't do that against the Packers.
Are you surprised that Jordy Nelson's not going to be there? Because I thought they'd find a way to get him in there and put that flap jacket or something on him. So it must be a pretty bad injury.
Oh, that hit was brutal. That hit was brutal. I mean, I was a little surprised to hear that he was out. I didn't think he would be out of the game. But when you've got guys like Cobb and Davante Adams who, you know, Cobb, we knew how good he was, but Devontae's really picked it up, and he's looked really good lately. You know, he does have him and who was there? Not Sharp. Who's their other guy? He got a case of the droppies. Davante Adams had a lot of drop passes this year, last year, but he's also had some big, big yardage games. So that's going to be interesting. But Jordy, that hit was so bad. And I think they're planning on winning, and I think they're trying to save him.
Obviously they want to win for sure, but I don't know if they're planning on it.
I think
they know they can. I think they're also looking at a big picture going, you know what? Would he really increase our chances to win this game that much with the way that he is right now? Just his presence on the field might open up something else. But if he took a really bad hit and you could say something that be a career type thing, I think they're going, you know what? We want this guy around for another 5 or 6 years.
At least.
Not maybe he can play this week or not.
Yeah, I think you could always have him on the field and not targeted, you know, just to be there kind of as a, you know.
What would be the point at that point?
Then? Exactly. Mm-hmm. There is no point.
Yeah. Plus in blocking schemes and that, someone's going to take a shot at him anyhow. It's football. Someone, yes. If you're not even throwing it to him, then they're going to go, well, then what's he doing out here? Someone will take a shot at him on the defense.
Right, they got those 5 yards. They're going to do it. What are how do you think Dak's going to do?
Well, that's the
big question is Dak, you know, and, you know, the pressure. No, didn't have to play last week. Mm-hmm. Elliott, I don't think there's a problem with. I think that guy is just, I mean, there's no issues with that guy. I thought in the beginning of the year, like, how is everyone so high on him so far? He hasn't
we
even
know
taken
now.
His, yeah, man, he has produced.
Yes. Well, I kind of knew coming out of college because I was a big fan of his there. But no, I
Could
think
you
he'll
have
be there.
Expected a season like he had this year? I mean, come
when
on.
When I saw the line that they had, yes.
Yeah, really?
There were people before the season starting saying that he was going to be the first rookie to rush for 2,000 yards. I thought that was a little over-aggressive, but no, I expected him to have a very good season with the line they had. And then, quite frankly, when Romo did go down, I figured they would simplify the play calling even more with Prescott being in there and just give him the ball more and have a short passing game. And they have certainly parlayed that into a great season. It will be interesting. Will the fact that two rookies are leading this offense finally catch up with the Cowboys? Or will the fact that the Packers are also a little bit banged up on defense, will the Cowboys just continue to roll like they've been doing? I was nervous about it 4 weeks ago in the regular season when I looked at Green Bay and what did I say?
Yeah.
The Lions are going to be the Lions. They're going to choke their way out of the things. Green Bay gets in there, and when they get into the playoffs, they can be dangerous. I remember when the Bears let them in years ago, the last time they won the damn Super Bowl. This is a very dangerous team. And when you have Rodgers there saying, relax, relax, it sounds like just something like, oh, what's he talking about? No, he actually does know what he's talking about. He now feels more comfortable with this offense and this core receivers than he has all year long. And that's a dangerous thing for any defense that they're facing.
And have you seen the way they've been able to protect him lately?
Oh,
like,
yes.
He has had a ridiculous amount of time in the pocket in the last couple of games.
And when he does get rushed, he's smart enough to either throw it away or he limps around back to the huddle all the time, but he finds a way to pick up 10, 15 yards, and there's another first down.
It helps that his receivers aren't dropping the ball anymore.
Is that something he does on purpose, or do you think he's legitimately hurt after every
play? I think he does it as a thing of going, oh, it's time to limp now. You're asking the wrong person there. He's as phony as a $3 bill.
I don't know. I like tomorrow's game the best. Today I'm looking. It's going to be good. But I like what the UFC has done as far as the booking of tomorrow night. It's obviously with the Chiefs and Steelers game being a little changed and throwing a little wrench into that. I thought it was perfect how as soon as NFL playoffs end on Channel 5, you flip over to FS1, and you're going to have the main event, which I'm looking forward to, and we're going to actually have to talk about that one in a little bit. But Armando.
Yes.
Who do you see winning today? Atlanta? Seattle?
Atlanta?
Okay, I'm with you, Frank.
If the Falcons lose this game, it's an even bigger black mark on Matt Ryan. Everything is set up for them to win right now. The Seahawks are not the Seahawks we've seen the last couple of years.
No.
Russell Wilson has still been running for his life a lot, although Atlanta doesn't have a great defense. But banged up that Seattle is and on the road, if Atlanta can't win this game at home in the Dome, then they're even bigger frauds than I thought they were.
Yeah, I got Atlanta winning. And what do you think? You think New England? We all think New England's going to walk away with this one.
Unless Tom Brady goes down with a massive injury, I don't see how they can lose. And I think they could still probably find a way to win with Garofalo because I think he might be as good or better than Osweiler.
Yeah, remember, I mean,
I hope it's a good game.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can hope for. But, you know, you can't predict this stuff. There's no way. There's no reason. There's no reason or rhyme for any of it.
Because if
that's
he blows
why
it
they
out,
play the game.
Well, if he blows it out, we won't have to worry about it. We can switch over to UFC, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I guess we should hit a break, and then when we come back, we do have a lot of UFC to talk about because it's a fun card. But
quick, Dallas, Green Bay.
Oh, I think Green Bay goes into Dallas and pulls this one off.
Wow.
I really do. And, you know, Jordy Nelson or not, I think, like what Frank said, Aaron Rodgers knows what he's talking about. He's not just throwing things out there. He's poised. He's got his head on straight. And I see them beating Dallas.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it could be kind of a toss-up, but I hope the Cowboys win, but that's just
because I can't send them. Yeah.
And I'll tell you Pittsburgh, Kansas City, I know we didn't talk much about Pittsburgh, Kansas City, but I'll tell you what, that could be a fun game and an interesting game. Arrowhead is a tough place to win a football game.
Very hard place to play, and if you actually look at, I never thought Alex Smith was a good quarterback, but what he's been able to do with the Chiefs and guys like, I mean, Tyreek Hill has had an amazing season. Travis Kelce, my goodness, that guy is just on fire lately. So, and Big Ben, banged up. You know, you saw him
walking. He's more dangerous when he's banged
up.
But when
isn't he banged up?
This is true.
He's been banged up ever since he went over the head over heels on his handlebars on his motorcycle. He's been limping around ever since, but he's also limped himself into a couple of Super Bowl
Bionic
rounds.
Man. Yes. The Bionic Man.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. When we come back, we will look at UFC fighting. Welcome back. Final go-around here. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. And guys, we've got some MMA action going on tonight. UFC Fight Night, the return of a legend.
Actually, tomorrow night, UFC.
Tomorrow night.
Doing that rare Sunday night appearance. It's after the NFL, the NFC championship divisional game. Tonight, we have Invicta. And remember, UFC Fight Pass is free this weekend. So Invicta tonight, and then you could catch the prelims, the early prelims for tomorrow's card, the UFC, which is in Phoenix. And the main card actually is very, very entertaining. You've got some really good fights. John Moraga, a former title contender, going against Anthony Pettis' younger brother, Sergio. Court McGee against Ben Saunders should be an absolutely outstanding matchup. Joe Lozon against Marcin Hell.
Anything Joe Lozon's
in. Joe Lozon, I mean, the king of bonuses. But the main event, BJ Penn against Yair Rodriguez. This is a fight that we look at and, you know, a lot of us are probably really wondering why it's happening. Why is BJ Penn a legend, a Hall of Famer, coming out of retirement after 2.5 years of being away from the cage? You know, BJ is one of those guys who's never had to fight. BJ comes from a very wealthy family in Hawaii. BJ has a lot of money. He's never had to do this. It's something he loves. So BJ Penn, he still has that itch. I hear he's focused. I mean, there's nothing scarier, retired or not. There's nothing scarier than a focused BJ Penn because the man's nickname is the Prodigy, and it is for a reason.
But there is a question mark in a lot of people's mind out there that have watched BJ Penn his whole career. Like you said, if he's focused, he's very dangerous. But it seems like in the past, he's been one of those guys that loves to fight, but not necessarily train for the fight.
Exactly. And he actually has switched things up for training. He's back with his boxing coach, Jason Perillo, but also made the move a year and a half ago because he was actually set to make his return over a year ago. But there was the IV issue where he used an IV and that's not allowed anymore. And then he was supposed to, somebody got hurt, or he got hurt actually. Yes. They canceled an entire card, the Philippines card, because of it.
So, I think there was more to that card.
Yeah, there was a few things getting thrown around on that one. But, you know, BJ Penn, Hall of Famer, coming out of retirement, hasn't fought since July of 2014. He's actually 1-5-1 in his last 7 fights. And, you know, for a guy who is a two-division champion, was the second guy to ever do it, now the third, but one of only three people to ever to hold division titles in two different weight classes, coming back against a young stud, Yair Rodriguez. Now, is he a finisher? Yeah, he's got some finishing ability. In the UFC, no. He's got five fights in the UFC. He's finished one. He had a brutal knockout of Andre Feely a couple of months ago. But he is a ball of fire. I mean, this guy comes to entertain. He's all over the place. He's very fast. He's very dynamic. It's going to be a very tough matchup for BJ Penn.
Especially if it's the old BJ Penn that we just recently saw.
I hope it's not like, this is the thing, is BJ Penn, and I am a mark when it comes to BJ Penn.
Yes.
BJ Penn is the reason that I love mixed martial arts the way I do. When I remember the very first UFC, UFC 1, November 12th, 1993. I was a senior in high school. It was on a Friday night. I watched it. I ordered it on pay-per-view. I was entertained. I think I ordered the first seven or eight. And then we had those dark ages. So I couldn't get it on cable anymore. I'd have to wait for tapes to find it and everything. But the first time I saw BJ Penn, I think it was his second fight in the UFC. It was against Cal Uno.
Oh, yeah.
And it was when he won in 11 seconds. And as soon as he won, he bowed to every direction in the crowd, and he ran. And I remember Mike Goldberg, BJ Penn has left the building. And I want to know when this guy fights. I want to see everything he does because I was hooked right then and there. And then I became a diehard fan. But it was BJ Penn's his doing.
His record is kind of deceiving too. Because
that's the thing is BJ Penn has fought in weight classes, in all different weight classes all over the world.
He fought Lyoto Machida at 205.
Well, he was 180, and Lyoto was 220.
So it was actually
technically a heavyweight.
Okay.
Fight. Now, record can be deceiving. Look at Randy Couture, one of the best fighters in the world. A very similar record. You know, you win some, you lose some, but you're always going out there and you're putting on a show. BJ Penn, I would really like to see him win, but there's part of me that doesn't want to see him win because I don't think he needs to be back. I think this is a young man's game, and BJ Penn, while being 38 years old, I mean, young, yes, but he has been competing in this sport for over 16 years.
Well, and you can even say it's just a young person's game. We see it in the women's thing.
Nunez
has retired the last couple of people she's fought. We saw Matt Hughes years ago, basically, and Hoist Gracie and BJ Penn. The other thing that I would question is, and I know BJ Penn has been around the game forever, which could be a positive or a negative in this particular fight, but there's got to be some cage rust after 2.5 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been down. Like I said, he's been a year training to get back into the cage. It's just been kind of roadblock after roadblock. We will see him tomorrow.
His last fight, the beating that he took, I did not want to see him anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again. And that's I do fear, because if he can get past Yair Rodriguez, which he can, don't sell BJ short. He still has incredible knockout power. He has great submissions. He can still win this fight. And Rodriguez, young up-and-comer, top 10 fighter. But I don't know how BJ would fare against anybody else. I want to see him win, but I don't want to see him win.
Yes.
I'd like to see him win, and then immediately afterwards say, that's it, I'm done, and I'm walking away, and I really mean it this time. All right, for Phil, for Armando, I'm Ballpark Frank. Have yourself a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Saturday. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio.